Now we are in Genesis 4, and we'll be in 16 through 26. Now, at least 4,000 years had come and gone between Cain and the apostle Jude, but the way that Cain had gone still remained. And Jude remembered that way, as he said in verse 11 of the epistle of Jude, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." So the way of Cain was not forgotten, for the way of Cain was very prominent in the time of Jude, and Jude recognized it, and he pronounced woe upon that way. He warned of the way of Cain. Now, as a teacher of the Word of God, I warn of the way of Cain. And so too, from this pulpit behind me, the warning goes out to all of the way of Cain. Woe unto them. All young people, all old people are warned that this way is a way of woe. You know, this world, you walk in this world, and there are a lot of woes. But the way of Cain is a guaranteed woe. And we will see that woe as we look in God's Word, which is careful always to point out the way that leads to destruction. You know, if you have eyes to see, there's always arrows. This way leads to destruction. You go down, this way leads to destruction. You go down, this way leads to destruction. The Word of God tells us that the way of Cain leads to destruction. Now, Adam and Eve chose to begin that walk on this way by deciding to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had therefore been banished from a place where only good occurred. Can you imagine that? Living in a place where only good occurs. And they had been banished from that place to go to a place where not only good occurred, but evil occurred. Think of the world we live in, for we continue to live in Cain's world, where everything has within it good and evil. Now, on Cain's way, there is always a downside. Have you noticed that in life? Have you noticed that as you walk this life, that there seems always to be a downside? You know, you can look up in the sky and say, "What a beautiful day it is." And then someone will whisper in your ear, "But there's going to be rain tomorrow." You know, there's going to be something tomorrow. There's always that downside that is brought in on Cain's way. Something good is done, but wait for the downside. You know, think of any activity that takes place. Even on the child's playground, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is planted deeply, as one moment you hear the joy and laughter of the children. But the next moment you hear crying and sobbing from the pain of a fall. If there are playgrounds in God's house, you will never hear the crying and sobbing of a child, for in God's house there is no downside. Can you imagine that? Isn't that a wonderful thought? No downside in the house of God, for all is good in God's house. You know, the Apostle Paul knew that, for he wrote of that which takes place in the lives of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose, for to those the norm of heaven is true, that all things work together for good. Now, it doesn't say anything about evil in there. It doesn't say that all things work together for good except a few evil things. No, it says all things work together for good because that's what happens in God's house. That's the norm of heaven. That's what heaven is all about. All good and no downside in heaven, for all things work together for good. That's a whole different world, is it not, than the world of Cain? There is nothing, there will be nothing to take away from the good that is found in God's house. But that is what Adam and Eve in perfect Eden chose to leave as Cain's way was begun. Oh, that old serpent came along and tempted. Yea, hath God said. So it began as a banishment from all that he knew, Cain, as we read in Genesis 4, 16 through 24. If you have your Bible, open it there. You know, I hope that you bring your Bible to Sunday school and open it there in chapter 4, 16 through 24. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Remember, this is after the murder of Abel. God is banishing him from that place where he enjoyed agriculture. He was a gardener, and now he's going to a place where that's not so well done. So he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, this is not the Enoch that was taken up to heaven. This is a different Enoch. This is the first Enoch. There will be another Enoch in the righteous line who walked with God, and God said, let's go home. Let's go home. An example of what's going to take place with us. One of these days, we're going home. You know, we're so ensconced. We're so deeply rooted in this life, but this is not our home. You know, this is not our home. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael. How come we don't use these names anymore? And Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. Well, this was something new. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Listen up. Hearken unto my speech. This is a very important announcement that Lamech has. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. So Lamech recalled his probably great-great-great-grandfather Cain and recalled his venging. And he said, it'll be 70 and sevenfold. So we here in this passage are given the first line of genealogy of which the Bible has many. Now, I always read the genealogies. Sometimes I drift when I'm reading them, and I try to capture, I grab that old mind and try to capture it back and read some more. It's hard to read them, but they're there for a purpose. Now, Moses wrote this line of genealogy, and I believe it is given to contrast the righteous line that begins in verse 25 and continues in chapter 5. So we're given the unrighteous line, and in contrast to that, we're given the righteous line. Now, God's word has two themes. If you boil it down, two themes. One is the road of sin, and the other is the road of righteousness. And where do these roads lead? You know, if you're going somewhere, you want to know where you're going. You want to know where the road is leading. You don't want to get on an interstate and say, I wonder where this road is leading. You want to know where you're going. And the Bible shows you where you're going very clearly. I mean, you read the Bible, you'll know what road you're on. You're either on the road of sin or the road of righteousness. One road is called the Broadway. Isn't it interesting that New York City has a Broadway? Oh, that Broadway is full of worldliness. It's full of sin. It's a symbol of the Broadway that God is talking about, which is Cain's way. And the other road is called the narrow way, which is not a way of life as the Broadway is, but it is a person. Did you know the narrow way is a person? The Lord Jesus Christ, for what did he tell his disciples? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ is the narrow way. One road is made and traveled by the unrighteous line, and the other by the righteous line. Now, Cain walked the road of sin, and we will find that those in his line also walked the road of sin, the road of worldliness, the road of the temporal, the broad way. His line was on that road. Now, we're told in this passage that we just read, that along this road, Cain built a city. And this is not the act of a wanderer or a vagabond, but the way of the rebel who was given to be by God the wanderer as a punishment for murdering his brother, but he refused to live it. So he built a city. He decided to be a city builder and a city dweller, and he named that city after his son Enoch. You know, we're to be wary of cities. I was born in the city of Chicago, and I was rescued and brought down to the small town of Milton. And that was indeed a rescue, because cities have so much evil about them, so many temptations. And those that walk in the way of Cain are drawn to cities. And then we are given names of his grandson, Irad. This is his grandson. And great-grandson, Mehujael. And great-great-grandson, Methusael. And great-great-great-grandson, Lamech. So that's where this genealogy leads. In Lamech's case, great, great, great grandson. Now, lifespans, you know, were long in those days. And it's no doubt Cain was around to see all of this transpire. He saw his grandson, he saw his great grandson, his great, great grandson, most likely. So, of the men that are listed in this genealogy, Lamech is one of most noteworthy of mention by Moses, who wrote this book. For Lamech departs from the God-established idea of one husband, one wife, and took to himself two wives with names of Ada and Zillah. So there's nothing new in the world today. Things that depart from the Word of God, things, order that is established by the Word of God, was departed from in those days as well as it is today. Now, Lamech, then, was the father of cowboys. If you notice that, he was the father of cowboys, such as dwell in tents and have cattle. Now, when you're a cowboy and you're traveling with with the cattle. There are tents. But this was the father of cowboys. He was also the father of a line of musicians. This is where music came from, the players of music. And he was the father of the first of great brass and iron metal workers. So you will note then in this passage of genealogy, the pursuit of knowledge of good and evil is prominent in the line of Cain, for that is the road he has chosen, the pursuit of the knowledge of good and evil. All of these things are given because this is where the people of his line desire to go. So we see here then the beginnings of the march of agriculture, the march of music, the march of technology, marches that have moved through the centuries, but we know that it's increased 100-fold in the last several centuries. My, these marches have increased. The speed of change in these areas is just phenomenal, and we're living through a good part of that. So they are marches of that which is good and that which is evil. For that is what eating of the tree of the knowledge will always bring. For in agriculture and music and technology, there is good and there is evil. So we see the both things in this march. There is an upside, but there is always a downside. So from Lamech, who obviously walks the way of Cain, his offspring produce great cultural and scientific contributions. And you know, even a man at his worst can produce things for great benefits to man. However, as we said previously, those contributions can quickly be adapted to man's corruption. This will not happen in God's house. In God's house, all things are good. You know, music is such a great gift, but it's so prone to affecting the emotions and sensuality, and great inventions also are so easily adapted to destruction. My, how great inventions come along, and pretty soon you'll have an invention from that will corrupt. Computers come along and people will use computers to corrupt. But they're so wonderful for certain things, but they're also brought along to corrupt. So this is always the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if you read chapter 5 of the line of Seth, which is the godly line, there is nothing given in that line regarding vocation, nothing given regarding ambitions or lines of worldly progress. All of that is in the line of Cain. So since the garden, since the knowledge of good and evil was given to man, that is what the quest of man is, for that quest is the goal of being like gods. Remember, the devil said, if you go down this road, you'll be like gods. So man has been going down that road trying to be the gods of themselves, trying to find truth, trying to find light down that road. So it is the quest. Now, this is important. The way of Cain is the quest of search instead of simply believing what God has said. You know, God has said thus and so. Yea, hath God said, I want to go and search this way. I want to go and search this way. Yeah, but God has said this. Why not settle on what God says? So the quest of the way of Cain is search. There is a theory of evolution. There are false gods and there are false religions because the way of Cain is a searching way instead of a trusting way. You know, God says, trust. Don't search. I'll search. And I'll draw you unto myself. So Cain's way is a searching way, and the righteous way is a trusting way. The quest is all wrapped up in the short question, asked of Eve by the serpent, yea, hath God said. That begins the search of what God has said in technology, in literature, in all kinds of things on the way of Cain. So that question launched the unending quest by man to discover instead of believe. You'll never discover Jesus Christ. You'll never discover him. He reveals himself to those that trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Cain began that quest with his offspring. As knowledge centered in the city was searched for in order to improve the lot of man. What is the search for? Well, it's a search for the cure for cancer. It's a search for planets out in outer space. It's a search for what's going on in the body. It's searching all the thing for that kind of thing. So no allegiances to the things of God are noticed in that city called Enoch, for it was given totally to travel along the broad way, the way of search and research. For within all of this searching is the desire to be like gods. You know, today we are filled with the search for eternity in this body as research looks for the cure for aging. You've heard of that, haven't you? Cure aging, and people will live eternal lives. You know, why did God banish Adam and Eve from the garden, that they not eat of the tree of life, that they not be cursed to live in this body throughout all the endless ages of eternity? Oh, God is so good to us and knows what's best. But the way of Cain thrives in our world. Now, in giving notice to Lamech in his word, God shows him as like father, like son, or like great, 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 great grandfather, like son. For we read these words, and I'm getting them from the New American Standard, verses 23b and 24. For I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Now, here we see then the way of Cain grows broader. Sin grows greater. Pride grows greater. You know, Adam and Eve sinned, but faith and repentance are implied on their part. For God covered them with skins, a God-approved covering. That was what was implied on their part. Cain murdered his brother Abel, and he never repented, but he did not try to defend or justify his actions. There was no try to excuse himself. But here Lamech is further down the broad way, further entrenched in sin. Sin grows, for his sin is committed boldly. He brags about it. He boasts about it, for he had murdered a young man who had only struck him. Now, Cain's sin was grave, but according to Lamech, that sin had gotten him protection from God sevenfold, but Lamech saw his sin as much more sinful, much more wicked, and therefore deserved God's protection 77-fold, 11 times that of Abel. Now, that's strange thinking. It's very strange reasoning. But remember, that is the reasoning of a deceived and wicked heart. a heart that cannot see that God's protection of Cain was an act of God's grace, not a reward for a wicked act. Now, God had put a mark upon Cain to protect him from the slayer, and in that act, he warned men of the seriousness of such an act. It was an act of grace on God's part because God valued human life, and at this time in history, he had not yet commanded an eye for an eye or a life for a life. Remember, the death penalty was later on in the book of Genesis and not in the time of Cain. Now, Lamech, seven generations from Cain, is well down the road of sin. And mature sin brings him to twist and distort God's grace into one of reward for sin. You know, there is not only an unrighteous line, but God brings us to know the righteous line. We've been shown the unrighteous line. We've been shown the results of Cain's way in Lamech's life, boasting about killing a young man and claiming God's protection 11 times that of Cain through a deceived and wicked heart. But fortunately, we're given in the scriptures a righteous line. And we read of that firstly in Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. What was on her mind there? She was looking for that deliverer. You know, God had said, I'm going to send a deliverer who will bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise his heel. Oh, Eve was interested in the deliverer. She thought that Cain would have been the deliverer, but he was not up to it, not chosen by God. So now she gets another boy instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Praise God that men are now coming to call upon the name of the Lord. We're seeing a righteous line. You know, that righteous line reached into this church, and we continue that righteous line, those of us who are saved and in the hands of God. But God always has a light to shine in darkness. For where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace did much more what? Abound. You know, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Abel's blood was in the ground, but as Eve said here, God has given me a Seth to replace Abel. And she was right in saying that, because Seth is the beginning, or not the beginning, but in the line of the righteous. He was in the righteous line, and God always preserves the righteous line. For in that line will come his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone in that line is pointing, no, I'm not the deliverer. The deliverer is coming. And then the next one comes, no, I'm not the deliverer, but I'm in the righteous line, and I'm pointing the way to the deliverer. So there must come a Seth. There must come an Enos. For then it says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So it seems then, at this point, the proclamation of God's word had begun, and men had joined together in worship, calling upon the name of the Lord together with other men. You know, Eve looked to Cain, but Cain failed. Abel was gone. But her faith in God's promise of a deliverer did not falter and was rewarded by one who was the seed toward that deliverer. Eve was clear in her faith, for she said, God had appointed me another seed instead of Abel. You know, faith pleased God then, and faith pleases God today. For we're told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, aren't you glad that God doesn't change the rules? You know, all of a sudden you get an edict down from God and he says, no, faith is not enough. You got to do this and you got to do this. I want to add to that. But no, God says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the next passage, which we won't get into, we can read of the righteous line. We read a little bit of introduction of the righteous line in verses 25 through 26. But then in Genesis 5, 1 through 32, you have a multitude of begottens and begets. We're going to go into the begets and the begottens of the scriptures and see what the Lord has for us as he gives us the genealogy from Adam to Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Father, we are so thankful that you show us the way in Jesus Christ. Lord, this world has many ways, but they're all the way of Cain. They all come to a common point. There may be many side roads. There may be many signs that say, go this way and go that way. But Lord, in the end, they all come to the same place, and you call that place destruction. But Lord, you've sent us Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way. Oh, how easy that is to contemplate that there is only Jesus Christ the way. And you better get on Jesus Christ or you're doomed and you're going to destruction. Bless us now, Father, and bless our pastor as he gives a message from the scriptures. Help him, Lord, to be faithful to the word of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.